Well, on behalf of all of us at Holy Name, I wish you a very Merry Christmas. It's a great time, especially for families, and we each have our own little traditions. I always ask the servers, have you opened your gifts yet? Or these guys, they're opening their gifts after Mass. I said, you want a long homily or a short one? So when we were kids, I mean, it was there were a lot of years we went to my grandma and grandpa's, but as they got older, different traditions evolved. So we always went to the Saturday night or the evening, the Christmas Eve Mass, and there was always a big choir, and it was really special. And we'd come home and have dinner, and then we'd open our gifts. It was the best night of the year. The next morning, we were expected to get up and go to church again, and my mom played the organ that time, and we'd have to all be in the choir, so we were recruited to go up and sing in the choir loft. And I remember the priest, it was seemed like there was more energy at the Christmas Eve than the Christmas Day, and he seemed a little tired, and he gave the same homily. And now that I'm a priest, I get it. I understand, you know. But some of you are here for the second time, and you're like, come on, Father. When I was in the Marshfield, I had 6 Christmas Masses. I'd have to give the same homily over and over again. Sometimes you get so bored saying the same thing. By the end, we'd say, well, let's just sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. How would we just call it? Once in a while, it would work out, like this second reading, that God spoke in fragmentary ways, but now he speaks face to face. One year, I was trying to give the illustration of the evolution of communication, especially with phones. The old days, you had, where I grew up, you had a styrofoam cup and a string, but and then they had these party lines, you know, you'd pick up, you could hear somebody, set it back down. Then you had the old rotary dial. And I was just talking about the evolution. Eventually, there were like these cordless phones. And just about the time I was going to get to the cell phone, somebody's went off. Right then, of course, the place went up, and, you know, they thought the whole thing was contrived and planned, but it was just pure serendipity. The idea, of course, is that Christmas is special because God is with us. He speaks to us face to face. He became one of us. You can hold him. Jack and his sister, Ari, they brought him up this morning and laid him in the crib. Look at how Jesus, he puts himself in our hands. When you come to communion, he comes into your body. He's God, but he's humble. What makes the story so believable is how human, how real it is. It didn't all work out for him. He didn't get a first class, first place. No, he took the lowest place. He is a king, but he doesn't arrogate to himself the power that we would have. No fanfare for this God, born in a manger, surrounded by animals, the most humble of all his creatures. Well, what can we say about Christmas? I wrote down a couple of things. One of the questions you always get is, it's a funny question, a rectory. Somebody will call and say, what time's your midnight mass? Well, but you know, they've changed times on this. I mean, if you know a quick history, back before the Second Vatican Council, the first Christmas mass could only be at midnight. That's where everybody went. That was the first one. There were no vigil masses. So I would go over to St. Mary's the last few years. I'm getting older now, so I didn't last night. But going to that Mass is the way my grandma and grandpa went to Mass. And I started to think back of the history of the church and all those centuries where they'd have to get dressed up and get in the horse and buggy and ride on in. And then they would celebrate. And there's something beautiful about the nighttime in winter. It's so quiet. And if it's cold, it's so clear. You can breathe that air in and you feel like, wow, very bracing. To recognize that what happened at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold was that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Incarnation, this is the one time that the Church will ask us at the Creed to pause and to kneel down. That God entered our world and he never left. He's still here. There's a little boy, he's 4 years old, Remy. He was here last night with his parents. He has Downs and he's taught me so much. He's a gift to me every time I see him. When he comes up to get a blessing, he'll come up to the communion rail, and first he kneels, and then he prostrates. He goes right down. I give him a blessing, and I think, kid, you should be blessing me. He can't receive communion yet, but he's the most worthy person. He's got the most pure soul of anybody in this church. I think it's the paradox of all paradoxes that I can't give him communion. He can give me so much of the presence of God. The Word became flesh. Ad verbum caro factum est, et habitavit nobis. God is with us now. He's never going to abandon us. And he, even if he remains hidden at times, is present in the tabernacle, in the people of God. In so many ways, he's with us. And so we want to meditate on that. Why did he come? to save us, to forgive our sins. We can't undo a lot of the hurt. We can damage others and we can't fix them. We can apologize, and so we must, but we can't undo the damage sometimes. I talked to a guy yesterday. He just got out of prison. He's been there for a long time. And he said, "Father, I've done a lot of damage to my family. I hope with God's help I can start to work on reconciling and making peace again." You see, God sent his son to heal our families. And we can't do that, not by ourselves. God wants to start right here in our own heart. He wants to repair our own sadness, our own sorrow, the regrets that we might carry from our past. And if you've never gone to confession, I was talking about this priest that it was a Sunday and he got, he's low on the totem pole, so he's hearing confessions and the Packers are on and he's really frustrated and everybody else is over at the house watching the game. And a little boy comes in for confession, and when he gets done, he says, "Now, kid, can you go to the rectory and just check the score? Come back and tell me." "Sure, Father, I'll do that." But a little while later, a little voice comes back through. "Bless me, Father. It's only been 10 minutes since my last confession. In that time, I haven't done anything. And neither have the Packers." A true story, 20 years ago, a priest, a friend of mine, he was coming home from his studies in Rome, and he was long trip, you know, with all these multiple flights. And his last connecting flight, he was in the airport, and he was tired, just couldn't wait to get home for Christmas. And dressed in his Roman collar, of course, and up comes a lady, says, "Are you a priest?" "Uh-huh." "Could I go to confession?" "Sure." They find a little quiet corner somewhere, and he finishes and gives absolution. He looks up, and there are 20 more people standing in line because they want to be forgiven. All human beings want to be forgiven. It's a universal desire. And for this, God sent his son. He said, "I'll do that for you. I'll give my life for you. I know your hurts and the fears and the frustrations, but I'm not afraid. And I'll stay with you. I'll be with you forever." This is a God who so loved the world that he came here and he stayed here and he's with us still. As we come to the end of this homily, is that enough? You guys had enough? Okay, I thought so, just checking. But my mom and dad always made Christmas really special. You know, they did so much for us. And, you know, you can't repay them, but you certainly have a lot of gratitude. Our parents are imperfect, like all of us. But I always quote Oscar Wilde, when we're little, we look up to mom and dad. We almost revere them. We get older, we kind of judge them. But if we get close enough to God, we learn to forgive our parents. They did the best they could with what they had. And I remember one time we were kids and Dad went up the steps and he said, "Hey, you guys, I can see Rudolph." And we go running up the steps and we're looking out the window and there's a blinking red light. We were mesmerized. We're just like, wow. And after about 10 minutes, he said, "We'll go back downstairs now." In the meantime, Mom had put all the gifts underneath the tree, that they just appeared there magically. I'll never forget that Christmas. Mom and Dad made it really special. I was in my 20s and I looked out that window, realized it was a radio tower, but anyway, what can you do, huh? God so loved the world that he came and lived here, and he is here. He will never give up on us. He came as one of us, but he's more than us. He is God's only son, our Messiah, our Savior. He came to heal us and to set us free. He gives us hope and joy. He restores peace. He unites our families. He is God. And we praise him. Merry Christmas.